I want you to, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to answer it honestly, because remember that it's a sin to lie in church. And this calls for some reflection. And the question is a very simple question. I want to ask you if it takes more strength and courage to live for the Lord or just to live in the world. To live with the Lord? How many say that? Okay. Here's where we go wrong, I think, when we say that. There seems to be a gap many times. I include myself in this, okay? There seems to be a gap many times from the knowledge to the faith. From saying, yeah, it takes courage and strength to live for the Lord. And where we go wrong most of the time is that we try to do it in our own strength and our own courage, and we fall. And we get discouraged, don't we? Okay? So when we say, yeah, it takes more strength and courage these days to live for Christ, to be a Christ follower, I fully agree with that. But then we have to be careful to say, where does that strength and courage come from? Or more specifically, from whom does it come? And there really is the essence of Joshua. Now, let me give you the setting here. The setting is this. You remember Moses, when he was alive, he sent 12 spies, right? 12 spies, I'm having senior moments today, into Canaan to spy out the land. They came back with good news and bad news, right? The good news was the land, it was exactly as God said. It's a land of milk and honey. It was a great land. God has set aside for us an incredible inheritance. And another way of saying that is God already signed the deed. The deed was signed over to Israel. All they needed to do was obey God and go in and possess it. Well, 10 of the spies said, we can't do it. Why? Because there were people bigger than Tommy in the Canaanites who were daunting. They had an organized army. As you well know, that the city was walled and very fortified. And they looked at that and said, we can't do it. Have you ever been faced with a situation that God has put in front of you and automatically you said, I can't do it? But there were two that said, no, we need to do it. That was Joshua and Caleb. By the way, Caleb was an 80-year-old man at this point. Joshua was Moses' protege, and Moses was mentoring Joshua to take over, come the day the Lord take him home. And because the Israelites listened to the popular opinion. That sound familiar today? The Israelites listened to the popular or the majority opinion and said, we can't do it. God disciplined them and said, this generation shall not enter the promised land. With the exception of Joshua and Caleb. So as the older generation lived in a state of unbelief and they passed away, a new generation came up that Joshua was going to lead into this promised land because he knew this, God will never go back on his promises. He will never go back on his promises. And so, this is where we pick it up. But before we get into the passage, I just jotted down some of life's challenges that could be giants in our lives. I have to be honest with you, my heart is grieving a little bit, only because I wish we had more of our teens here today. Because this first point is so relevant for today. They really need to hear this. Being sexually pure and honoring the sacredness of marriage between a man and a woman will take strength and courage today. Won't it? Because it's against popular opinion. And they're not going to be able to do it on their own. They're going to have to draw on the resources of God, His Word, the Holy Spirit, God's presence, in order to stay pure sexually and honor the sacredness of marriage. And I can't emphasize this more for our young people today, but I really need to emphasize this for all of us. Sexual purity is something that is in the forefront today. We see so many failures on so many fronts. We see so many failures even in the church, don't we? And so that's one of life's challenges, life's giants, if you will, that we face. I want you to picture this. I'm old, okay? But my only chain of reference or my only frame of reference is when I was in high school. And I'll be very blunt here. When I was in high school and we dated a girl, and I was no angel, we dated a girl, every guy was in fear of making a mistake with that girl and telling her father. You remember those days? That doesn't apply anymore. The peer pressure now is so great. And it's like, well, this is popular opinion. Everybody's doing it. And as they get out of high school and they go into college or wherever they go, and the sanctity of marriage is not there anymore, you hear, well, it's okay if you live together for a while to see if it's going to work. Baloney. It's going to take God's courage to stay pure, especially under the peer pressure. How about this one? Being honest, even when it looks like it would be easy to get away with dishonesty. Has that ever happened to you? Or maybe we yielded and said, nobody's going to know. So what's the big deal? How about being ethical in all our business practices? What about keeping promises and being trustworthy? Here's a biggie. How about the strength and the courage to be godly parents? Parenting is tough. I believe it's the toughest job in the world. I really do. Whether you're a single parent or you're married, I believe it's the toughest job in the world. Without God's strength, without His wisdom, without His courage, we can't do it well. How about being godly children? Honoring mother and father. How about being good students and employees? Here's another tough one. What about not engaging in gossip or backbiting? Did I step on any toes? How about being Christ to the unlovable? Be easy to love somebody who loves you. How about being Christ to the unlovable? How about this? And some of you have struggled with this. How about having victory over addictions and anger issues? Nobody here has anger issues, right? I have to laugh because, and I'm sure they do some good, but I know some people who have wrestled with anger issues, and depending if it's in the workplace or it ends up in court for some reason, you're sent to anger management classes, right? I want to suggest, rather than going to anger management classes, and I'm sure they do some good work there, I would suggest, why don't you go to God's class, and then He can start to change us from the inside out and bring real change, so that we can have victory over the anger. Here's where we go wrong sometimes. We ignore God's process. I know some instances where God has given victory in some of these areas immediately. But most times for us, it's a process, isn't it? When we choose to enter that process God's way, we are going to make progress by His grace. When we choose to withdraw from the process, then you know what we do? We don't stand still. We go backwards. We go back to what we were. And that's not a pleasant thing. I want you to take a look here at some of the just three things that Joshua was commissioned with. First of all, if you allow me to read verses 1 through 6 again. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. I want to stop there for a second. I want you to understand this. Moses was like a household name by this time. Moses was Moses, you know. Moses was the guy who the Lord said, I'll never leave you and forsake you. Lead my people. He took them out of captivity. Moses was Moses, but Moses died now. But God's work didn't die with Moses. Moses and God trained up a new leader by the name of Joshua. Leaders may die, but the God's mission will never die. You get that? Leaders may die, God's mission will never die. I'm a big fan of Billy Graham. And, you know, he's one of the leaders, the visible leaders, who has handled his life above reproach, is being used by God. And I can remember many years ago thinking, what's going to happen when Billy Graham dies? Well, God's got it all taken care of. We'll miss him, but Franklin Graham's carrying on the work. His grandson, William Graham, is carrying on the work. He'll raise others to carry on the work. Louis Palau's carrying on the work. Louis Giglio's carrying on the work. I mean, there's so many that God is raising up. God's cause will never die. And so, the great leader Moses passes on. Joshua's raised up. And he hears the promises of God. He says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is now dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place you set your foot as I promised Moses. And that is so key. God is not saying something new here. He's just simply repeating what? His promises. You say, well, why does God have to repeat his promises so much? You know why? We're thick-headed. We need to hear them again and again and again. And this is where we suffer, I believe. Because God will never go back on his promises. We need to hear them again. We need to read them. We need to meditate on them. We need to pray over them. Because God's promises are yes in Christ. That's what it says in Corinthians. And so I have to believe that God's promises will happen as we obey him. And here's the bottom line is if we don't obey him, that's not going to negate his promises. He's going to raise somebody else up who will. But can you imagine this? This would be like a mortgage company coming to you and saying, you know what? You can go anywhere in the country, any place you set your foot, we'll give you that. We'll give you that land. So let's say you're a mountain person. You go out to Colorado, you see the Rockies, and you set your foot on the Rockies, and God said, it's yours. All you have to do is, by faith, go there and take it. Let me bring it home a little bit more. Let me ask you, if God doesn't promise this, by the way, okay? So here's my disclaimer. But let's say God promised that when you went home this afternoon and you stepped foot in your house, the mortgage would be paid for completely. Would you be doing cartwheels? Would you be, you know, yelling? He's not going to do that. But you get the point. God's promises. We have to be reminded. What are some God promises? What are some of the promises of God of which we need to be reminded? Can somebody tell me? Yeah, thanks. Can somebody tell me some of the promises? And that's repeated here, right? Really? All right? We got it in stereo. That's repeated here twice. I will never leave you or forsake you. We will never be alone, no matter what we face, no matter what challenges we face. We will never be alone. Sometimes we feel like we're alone, but you know why? Because it is we who step out of the promise or and the presence of God. And that's when we start to feel alone. I feel bad for people who are facing life's challenges or might be being pulled away into idolatry. And that can happen in a lot of different ways. And I start seeing the pattern. I've been doing pastoring for a long time. And I start seeing this pattern where they stop coming to church. I shouldn't say they stop, but they'll come once in a while. And then when it's easy to miss a Sunday here and there, they may feel guilty at first, but it's not so bad. So it becomes more. And then they stop reading the Bible. They've already stopped praying. And we take ourselves out of the presence of God. What are some other promises? Eternal life. The biggest miracle in the world, I believe, is eternal life. No one, not even ourselves, can take that away from us. You realize that? Eternal life. Associated with eternal life is what? Salvation and an inheritance. There's already a mansion being built for us. Isn't that what the scripture says? There's a mansion being built for us. No mortgage. No mortgage. And it's going to be better than any mansion you've ever seen. Not only no mortgage, but you're not going to have to pay taxes. The streets are going to be paved with gold. Imagine? Paved with gold. We got a while to get there. Vince, you're going to say something. Say it louder, please. He holds us in the palm of his hands. I want you to think of a young person in high school, college, sad to say now even middle school, with the temptations of drugs and heroin that's been plaguing our area. Or they go off to college and there's the temptations now of a newfound independence, you know, and I don't have anybody telling me what to do anymore. And the peer pressure that comes with that. How we need God's promises, God's strength, God's power, God's word to follow him. Let me just develop this with you a little bit more. Look at verse 5. It says, what a promise. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Oof, that's powerful. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I don't know what you might be facing today or tomorrow, but those promises never change. You're not going to be alone. You remember, we talked about summer ending. One of the days I hated, I'll be honest with you, and I use that term hated, was Labor Day when I was in school. Because I knew summer was ending, school's right around the corner, and I really didn't like that the Jerry Lewis telethon was on. He does good work, okay? Muscular dystrophy is a horrible disease. That's good stuff, but it symbolized to me, you know, the beginning of a giant I didn't want to face. However, at the end of the telethon, do you remember the song that he traditionally sang? You'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. As a Christ follower, the promise is we will never walk alone, no matter what we face. It could be the pain of a divorce. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be the chronic illness that you were just diagnosed with. We'll never walk alone. Look at verse 6. Be strong and courageous, and you will lead these people into the land, I swore to you. Now, when the Bible repeats something, you need to listen. Look at verse 7. Be strong. And what? And that's not a blind type of strength or blind type of courage. It's a courage based on the promises of God. It's a courage already sealed by the promise of God that in His strength, with His courage, we can go on to what He has called us to do. Be careful to obey all my law Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or left of it, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. What's the next word? For Sunday? How often? Oh, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. I plead with you today that when you leave here, would you ask God for the desire and the strength to help you be in the Word each and every day? Not just for a few minutes with the daily bread, but really come to it with an open heart and open eyes and say, Lord, I need to hear from you today because I'm facing some giants today. Lord, I need your strength, your wisdom, your courage. I need to hear your promises again. And would you think on and meditate on some of those promises? John says, I'm a child of God. For those of you who know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a child of God. It's a promise. The Bible says my identity doesn't come from my job or from my bank account or from the car I drive or how I look. God says my identity comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. That in Him I am forgiven. In Him I've been bought with the price of His blood. That in Him I have new purpose and new life. In Him, I have hope, no matter what we're facing. Look at verse 10. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go to the camp and tell your people, go get your provisions ready for what we're about to do. There's an old expression called misery likes company. You ever heard that? Can we change the expression? Can we say that when we are facing giants, we need each other's encouragement to remind us that the Lord's with us? Now, let me put a disclaimer here. If I know somebody's going through something serious and I sit down next to them and I recite Romans 8 to them, everything works, you know, for good, for the glory of God, you know, they have every right to smack me. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is when the Bible says when one of us hurt, we all hurt. When one of us are joyful, we're all joyful. Sometimes the way to do it is just to sit down and listen. Maybe to cry with people. A handshake. A holy hug. Speaks volumes. Going forward. Or if you're going through something very specific and you know someone else in the congregation has been there, you can go to them and say, tell me what God did. Oh, man. powerful. One of the things I would encourage you to do We're not able to lead somebody unless we've gone before them. Is that a fair statement? Okay? Unless we've gone before them. So I think one of the things that you and I need to do as we grow in Christ, as we mature in Christ, is to keep reading the promises, meditating on them, and I think we need to pray them back to God. Because you know what happens when we pray them back to God? We're saying, this is what you told me. I'm going to hold on to that by faith. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I need your strength to go forward and make the right choice in whatever situation I'm facing. I talk to people a lot, and they say to me, well, sometimes I pray, I don't know what to pray. Pray back the promises of God. That's what the Psalms are. And a lot of them, pray back the promises of God. I love Robert Cook. He's with the Lord now, but some of you may remember him. When he signed off his radio program, he would say, walk with the King and be a blessing. Here's what he would say on the issue of reading the Word of God, meditating on it, praying back the Word of God, and praying to God. He would simply say this, if you don't feel like reading the Word of God, read until you feel like it. And if you don't feel like praying to God, pray until you feel like it. There's a lot of wisdom there. It's a lot of wisdom there. Let me finish this out with you. Let's go down to verse 16. Joshua. There's no fool here. He has been groomed to be a leader by God, by Moses, through Moses, his mentorship. And as he gets ready to take the reins, I want you to hear what the people say. Now, there's a positive side and negative side about this. People will follow a leader who's following God. Not everybody, because everybody doesn't want to follow God. But people will follow a leader who follows God. So this is how they answered Joshua when word got out to the people. Whatever you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Go to the next verse, Joe. And it says, just as we fully obeyed Moses That's why Aaron said, all I did was take some gold, threw it in, and the calf popped out. And just as the people said to Moses, well, we didn't know where you were for 40 days or 40 nights. We thought you left us and forgot the promises of God. Just as the people rebelled shortly after that, complaining about the manna. Oh, Lord, how many ways can we prepare manna? There's manna parmesan, you know, manna garlic and oil. How many ways can we get sick of it? Yeah. And I'm reading this and I'm saying, Lord, thank you for being so patient with me, with us. Because sometimes words are cheap. Lord, give me the strength and the courage to obey you. Holy Spirit, I need to surrender to you. So I obey. Holy Spirit, I need your power to fight the giants that I am facing. I'm going to jump ahead just a moment here. Joshua, as he leads the people through this, he has this hills and valleys. But near the end of the book, here's what's recorded. And Joshua is very blunt, a realist, and he says, I know people. And he says, you're going to be prone to wander. But let me put it in a nutshell for you. Every day, when God graciously wakes us up, we have a choice to make. Will we serve Him? Or will we serve the Lord? Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choice is ours. The choice is ours to save God in His power and His courage, based on His promises, His presence with us, and His power. And that has to be made on a daily basis. Whatever we do for God in serving Him has to have its roots in God's Word, in God's promises, in His love, in His grace. And we need to surrender to God to let Him move us and change us from the inside out so we can be Christ to others. Power to serve God must come only from the Holy Spirit. And the glory for any victories that you and I have the blessing of experiencing, all that glory has to be given to God. Every single ounce of it. There are some things that I've learned over the years, and one of those things is this, that hindsight is perfect. You know, the I could've, I should've, and all. Listen to what I'm going to say, and maybe if you do better than me, God bless you. But looking back over the years I've known Christ, I can say that if I had come to Him every day, in His presence, being reminded of His promises, surrendering to the power of the Spirit, asking God for His strength and courage, I probably would have saved myself 3/4 of the heartache that I've experienced over the lifetime. How about you? I'm going to ask you to do something. I rarely do this, but I always tell you that if you have problems sleeping at night, you know, pull up the podcast, I'll put you to sleep. But on a serious note, I'm going to ask you, if you know any young people, college, high school, middle school, they need to hear this message. They really do. They need our prayer. We need to pray for each other. Look around. Every person you see here today needs prayer. And if you're here today and you say, I don't need any prayer, you're in the biggest danger. You really are. I don't know how else to say it. You're in the biggest danger. We pray for each other because we may have a nice afternoon. I don't know. I don't know what's in store. But we may have a nice afternoon today. But you know what's lurking tomorrow? If there's a tomorrow, Monday. In the real world. Choose you this day who you will follow. As for me and my house, we will follow and serve the Lord. Praise team.